Good to have you with us on Red Barn Radio. I'm Brad Becker. We continue to celebrate the 20th season of Red Barn Radio, and tonight we welcome you to show number 778. Our guest this week has been a go-to keyboardist for this region for now approaching five decades. The immensely talented Lee Carroll has a fascinating history in the music business. Following a considerable time away from music, Lee thankfully returned to the scene feeling, he says, like a kid with fresh ideas and a brand new outlook. See the Beat is a big part of that here on the Red Barn stage. Joining Lee Carroll is Robert Fromm, Trip Bratton, Thomas Usher, and Jonathan Barrett, four of the region's finest players. Welcome, See the Beat, to Red Barn Radio. Lee Carroll's See the Beat explores the musical dialogue between Africa and the New World. They play reggae, ska, salsa, Afro-Cuban jazz, Brazilian samba, New Orleans R&B, funk, and Afrobeat. A talented group of folks who believe in the healing and positive impact of music in ours and other cultures. Plug in your best speaker and subwoofer. Get ready for an evening of music and conversation with this great band. Welcome back, See the Beat, to the Red Barn stage.
Thank you. Thanks to WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official radio partner, NPR for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.org. Red Barn Radio is presented with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's premier cultural development advocacy and fundraising organization. LexArts, working for the development of a strong and vibrant arts community as a means of enhancing the quality of life in Central Kentucky. And by Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information? Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com.
Great to have you with us on Red Barn Radio. Hope you are having the time, at least a fraction of the fun that we're having here in the house at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're with See the Beat this evening, They are Robert Fram on guitar, Trip Bratton playing the drums, Thomas Usher back there on the bass, and Jonathan Barrett playing that saxophone, and then Lee Carroll, who has brought all these folks together. Lee, I wonder, before those songs are lost, do you want to talk at all about, I mean, even the most recent tune that you played there? These are all your compositions, right?
Yeah, I started writing songs at the beginning of the pandemic. I think a lot of artists who were locked in the house got very creative. Ended up writing about 35 songs during that period, and about 20 of them we've been in the studio and have recorded and pushed them out on streaming services. So the song we started with was Hotel Nacional. That's a big, fine hotel in Havana, Cuba, and my wife Connie and I traveled to Havana about 5 years ago and spent a couple of weeks there, and it was really an amazing experience. I used to think of New Orleans as a musical mecca, but when I got to Havana, I realized there's a whole nother level of musicianship out there, and you just didn't hear anybody who couldn't play. You didn't hear any bad music. I don't care how small the dive was. If there's a band playing in the music, they were in there, they were cooking. So Hotel Nacional was inspired by our trip to Havana.
Nice. were in Cave City through what, middle school, through high school?
No, through high school. I was born in Glasgow, 11 miles away, and spent my first 18 years in Cave City, Kentucky, which is, for those from out of state, they might know Mammoth Cave National Park. It's that area. So there were a lot of, I-65 went through there. You know, my dad always said each generation has a road. His generation, it was 31W, and then the old Dixie Highway before that, and then I-65 came through in my generation, you know, and so all the tourists from Michigan and Indiana would come down through there.
Were you a musician as a teenager?
I started playing when I was 15. Somebody showed me something on the piano, and I never stopped. I moved to Lexington in 71 and played with a band here called the Hatfield Clan. It became eventually the Metropolitan All-Stars. So they were, you know, a big Lexington group for many years. In my mid-20s, I decided if I was going to be a musician and pursue it seriously, I needed an education. I went to Boston and attended Berklee College of Music for 3 years.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did you finish the program you started there?
No.
That's okay. I'm just curious. Yeah.
You know, unless you're going to go into academics, a degree in music really doesn't count for much. So I studied jazz composition and arranging there and then hit the road with a jazz fusion band. We had a jazz fusion band called Fly By Night. We used to play in Lexington. We'd play at Breeding's here, and we'd play in Cleveland at Dewey's, and we would play in Florida. You know, just wherever anybody in the band grew up, we would go there and play. And we did that for a number of years, and then that kind of dried up, and I ended up moving to Nashville.
It's a huge leap. You know, you go from 15, and somebody was just showing you a few things on the keyboard, and then all of a sudden you're into some really deep music. Did that happen at Berklee?
Berklee certainly expanded my idea of, you know, ideas about music. The thing about, you know, growing up in a small town in Kentucky and all of a sudden you're in a real cosmopolitan city and you can walk from one corner to the next corner and hear half a dozen languages and dialects. That was exciting as anything else. You know, all the cultures and, you know, I'd walk into the Berklee classrooms and there's people over here speaking Spanish and people over here speaking French and there's Africans over there, and you know, and it's that was an inspiration because it opens up to all kinds of music.
Thank you.
My dad liked country music.
Uh-huh.
And on occasion, my mom and dad would go to Nashville, and mom called it the Grand Ole Opera.
Ah, nice.
They'd go to the Grand Ole Opera. One time I asked my dad, I said, you know, you're going to go to Ernest Tubb Record Shop down in Nashville. Bring me something. And I gave him a list of stuff. And he came back and he had a Monkees album. That's all they had. It wasn't Ernest Tubb and stuff. You know, thanks, Dad.
And ultimately, you found yourself sort of in a Nashville setting. How old were you then?
I hit Nashville when I was 30.
Okay, so that's not that much further along. Why'd you do that?
Well, the band I had, the Jazz Fusion band, we were starving to death, and the guys in the band pressed really hard, and they wanted to be like an 80s MTV band. And so we made the switch, and I realized that that's not what I wanted to do. You know, we all got funny haircuts and cut the sleeves off our T-shirts and jumped when we played, and it was like, hey, I'm out of here. So at that time, the music centers were Los Angeles, New York, and Nashville. And Nashville was close to home. So I thought, well, I'll try this. So I knew a couple of people here in Nashville and hopped in my car and went down there. 9 months later, I got very lucky. I got a job playing piano for the Judds.
Was that creatively a good opportunity for you?
You know, when you're a side man, every 18 months they hand you a record and say, learn this. At that time, especially, you weren't involved in the creative side of things. You know, the producers used the same 10 or 15 guys to make all the records in Nashville back in, you know, 90s, 80s and 90s. It was a great experience, you know, to be out on the road professionally playing 125 one-nighters a year. And the Judds were great folks to work for. Eventually, the Kentucky band Exile asked me to join the band. So I became a member of Exile.
For how long?
8.5 years.
Was that during their hit producing time?
When I joined the band, they had had 10 number one country hits already. And prior to that, they had a hit, a big pop hit with I Want to Kiss You All Over back in 1978. So I joined the band in, let me think about this. I think it was probably 86, maybe, 1986. And we had one more number one country hit. Had a couple of other smaller hits and went through a lot of ups and downs and changed record labels. Over the course of that tenure, I did three records. I did one on Epic, which was a subsidiary of CBS at the time, which eventually was purchased by Sony. And I did two on Arista. You know, funny thing, in Nashville, once Garth Brooks had hits, all the record labels started rushing to Nashville and opening subsidiaries. And we got signed to Arista Records there.
Oh, wow.
Back with more Red Barn Radio after this break. Red Barn Radio, roots music, southern style. We'll be right back.